about protecting Iowa's rivers, lakes, and streams. Because we're good environmental stewards, we're required to use a manure management plan and other practices to help keep Iowa's water safe and clean. Producers also help with projects to improve our local watersheds. After all, our families and livestock drink the water too.
Brought to you by the Plymouth County Pork Producers.
The survival of the fittest. And besides, it's fun.
Outdoors with John is on the air. This is the Hunting, Camping, and Fishing Show, presented by Northwest Iowa Outdoors, the region's number one outdoor entertainment multimedia outlet. Live from the KSCJ studios in Sioux City, the phone lines are wide open. Call 239-2101 right now with your questions or comments.
Good morning, everybody. The show is brought to us by the City of Kingsley, Small Town Sportsman in Kingsley, Dirt Road Design and Screen Printing in Kingsley, the Shooting Shop in Anthon, Iowa, the Plymouth County Conservation Board, Skyline Lodge in Perot Falls, Ontario, Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors in Milford, Iowa, Stan's Bait Shop in Milford, and Midwestern Land and Auction in Mapleton, Iowa. And let's just go right to the phone there. We got Bill on the line this morning. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
I'm one of these people that love watching those Alaskan outdoor shows.
Yeah, some of those are kind of cool.
Yeah, and I enjoy your show on Saturday morning. And they're always talking on those Alaska shows how tasty beaver meat is.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty good.
Where around here can I get some of that?
In the river.
I'm not a trapper. Do you know of a place around that sells it?
No, I do not. Trapping season is going to start here in a little while. I mean, I'm pretty sure I could help you out with some beaver meat if you need it.
Okay. I'll leave my number with the guy.
Yeah. And I'm sure we can find a trapper that would... the problem is I wouldn't just trust any trapper because sometimes they leave that stuff lay around for quite a while before they clean it.
Right.
And I know a couple trappers that would probably... get one over to us right away that same morning. And a guy could get it clean, good, and proper and get it. Well, we can see what we can do, Bill.
I'll leave a number with the guy.
You bet. Sounds good.
All right. Hey, thanks. I enjoy your show.
Oh, thanks a lot. Well, look at that, Scott. Later today, we're going to talk about the Effigy Mounds National Monument in northeastern Iowa. We're going to have Michelle on the line. With an installment of No Stone Unturned, and she will be talking about the Effigy Mounds in northeastern Iowa. Let's see. I don't really have a lot of stuff on there. Reminder that the people that call in, tell us a story, take part in the show for that Heritage Rough Rider Revolver giveaway. We only have 8 shows left where you can be able to do that. And you can also email the story into Scott at...
It's kscjweekends@gmail.com.
And I'm glad you know how to access that and read it because I sure don't. But anyway, we can use that. And then... 3 weeks ago, Steve called in and was telling us a story about the 2 moose on the golf course, and we got cut off. We ran out of time at the end, and we didn't get to hear the end of that story, or we didn't get your information, Steve. So if you can just call back and at 239-2101 and give Scott that information, we'll get you
there.
Yeah,
the other thing is William hung up, so call me back, Bill, and give me your number.
Oh, geez, that's no good. Yeah, well, what am I going to do with that beaver when I get one? I have that thing in my freezer. But anyway. I guess the tail on the beaver is a delicacy, too. So, I don't know. I know all the trappers, all they're after is the pelt itself. They don't keep the tail on it, so. I don't know. Boy, that's probably about the strangest thing ever that a guy's willing to do to get ratings on a show is butcher a beaver for a customer or for a listener. Yeah, probably one of the strangest things. Fishing around the area has been picking up pretty good. The best bets, if you're looking for northern pike, would be on Trumbull Lake in Clay County, Iowa, and they are catching tons of pike over the spillway there at the lake. And then also around the lake, you go around, find the calm areas around the weed beds, and casting just traditional spoons in those areas is producing a lot of northern pike. walleye's been pretty good on Lost Island Lake in Palo Alto County, and they've been catching a lot of 14 and 18 inch walleyes there, and they're also picking up a lot of yellow bass on mini jigs tipped with wigglers in the shallower waters. And the best bite there for both the walleye and the yellow bass has been during the morning and the evening hours. Storm Lake has been showing a lot of activity on the white bass there, and mostly they're using crankbaits, and they're using night crawlers and twisters casting from the shore near the inlet. Also, they're picking up quite a few crappies in the early mornings in and around the boat marina there on Storm Lake. Catfishing has been real good on Black Hawk Lake. They're mostly fishing the east shore near the outlet, and then also the inlet bridge and from the bank in Town Bay. And bass fishing has been good around the lake on Black Hawk Lake, and they're using traditional topwater baits near the shore and the weed lines, and then also the would be the weed lines that are established out in the middle of the lake, and they're picking up the bass there. And otherwise, you know, up at Spirit Lake, West Okoboji, the walleye fishing there has been picking up pretty good too, and the perch fishing. And they're using a number of traditional lures up there. The perch are running about 8.5 inches average on Spirit Lake, and they're catching those mostly with yellow and white mini jigs tipped with wigglers, and they're fishing the outside edges of the weed beds there on Spirit Lake. And
well, let's get the trivia question out.
Hey,
there.
Let's throw that out there. Yeah, and we'll go to a break, and then when we get back, we'll have Michelle on with No Stone Unturned.
Yeah. Okay, now here's the question. The effigy mounds found in Iowa are believed built by the early ancestors of the Ho-Chunk tribe. Is that true or false? 239-2101.
And
going to the break?
Yeah, let's get it over with.
All right, we'll be right back. 1360-949 KSCJ.
Cluttered closets with those old shoes? It's time to give them the boot. Clear out your closets today. Bag those old shoes you never wear and those boots that don't fit anymore and bring them to Baumgars. We've teamed up with the Salvation Army to help you clear out that clutter today, all day, at the two Sioux City stores. Just bring in any pair of old shoes or boots and you'll get 25% off any one pair of footwear in stock. If you bring in good old shoes or boots, we'll donate them to the Salvation Army on the spot. So bag them up and bring them in. A pair of shoes or boots is worth 25% off any one pair of new footwear you find in the store. It's a win-win all day, today, at both Sioux City stores for the big Baumgars boot and shoe trade-in.
What you need, when you need it, at Baumgars.
You know, you all have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today, and now Mike Lindell, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to you. You can get deep discounts on all MyPillow products if you go to the MyPillow.com site right now and click on the new radio listener special. I use MyPillow, and I am sleeping so much better, you can too. Get deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. For example, they're bringing back the BOGO offer for the MyPillows. That's right, buy one pillow and get the other one absolutely free. And remember, all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. So come on, go to MyPillow.com and click on the new radio listener specials and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter my code KSCJ or call 800-607-2091, 800-607-2091, 800-607-2091 for these great radio specials.
Big John.
Well, we made it back, Scott, but I don't think anybody had a correct answer to our trivia, did they? What we're looking for, the true or false, the effigy mounds found in Iowa are believed built by the early ancestors of the Ho-Chunk tribe. And here in Sioux City, we're no strangers to the Ho-Chunk tribe. I think in the east, they might still go by the Winnebago. Some of the stuff they do here is they go by the Winnebago tribe also, but I guess technically they're traditionally Ho-Chunk. But were their early ancestors credited with the building of the effigy mounds found in Iowa? And good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. How are you? How's everybody doing?
We're doing good. A little bit of light rain this morning that's pushed out of the area, and it's going to be a great day out here in Western Iowa.
Excellent. Good. Very good. Well, now that it's fall, one of the really fun kind of adventure trips folks might want to do is sort of, an across the state trip and head on over to Effigy Mountains National Monument. It is really, really beautiful. It's in the very far northeastern corner of Iowa, up in Allamaquis County, if any of your listeners have been to that area. And, you know, you can make a weekend trip out of it. Effigy Mounds is a fantastic national monument, and then you could also go see Pike's Peak. There are some incredibly, really just fun family towns in that area, like Marquette and McGregor. You're not too far away from Dubuque. Prairie du Chien is really fun. I mean, you're right there along the Upper Mississippi National Wildlife area there. It's just, it's actually a really stunning part of the state and part of the country. It's all in that driftless area. So unlike large parts of Iowa that tend to be flatter, lots and lots of ravines and hills and area there. It's just a very, very beautiful and dramatic part of the state that's terrific for hiking and camping and touring.
Oh, absolutely. The driftless zone, I mean, that's the area up there too where they got the cold water streams and the native trout streams are still in existence there in northeast Iowa. The rest of the state, the last ice age, the glaciers actually kind of scraped everything free, but for some reason missed that corner of Iowa and left it alone. And that's why you still see some of these, because these effigy mounds that are there in the National Monument there, on their website, they're saying there's about 200 mounds that are still in existence there, and they date back to about 1000 AD.
Yeah, it's incredible. Several hundred mounds, and you know, it is part of a national monument. So you go in, and it's it's literally tall. I mean, you're up in the hills that are overlooking the Mississippi River. And so, yeah, they've got about 200 or so different mounds. About 30 of them are in the shapes of large, symbolic animals. So mammals and reptiles and birds, and you'll see, bears and things like that. They're really quite dramatic. The visitor center is very informative. There's lots of great information there. Then you can go hiking out, and you could spend as many days as you want in that park. I think it's about 2,500 acres total. Now they don't do camping there, but as you correctly said, there are these terrific clear water trout streams all over, and so you can actually camp nearby, like in Pike's Peak. And then in the Yellow River State Park, which I've been in and is absolutely stunning. It's one of my favorite state parks to go to. And they these clear water streams. You're not too far away from the Volga River also, which has great fishing as well. But it's just a really, really beautiful part of the state that does not look like what I think a lot of people in the U.S. think the prairie looks like, or, the Great Plains look like. It's a very different part of the U.S.
It's really amazing because you go from eastern Iowa, like up there in the northeastern corner, and you got that driftless zone, and you come out here to extreme western Iowa and get into the Les Hills. The change is so dramatic. I mean, I can compare it to, eastern and western Nebraska or eastern and western South Dakota. Just the change across those two states is just as dramatic, actually.
Yes, exactly. And the Mississippi River itself is really terrific to see. And again, I would, especially, obviously if you're coming from western Iowa, you'll need roughly four and a half hours or so, depending on where you're coming from to get here. But spend the weekend of it, and you've got part of that driftless zone because of the huge Mississippi River, running through everything. And right now with the fall colors, they're really kind of hitting in eastern Iowa. You can take, riverboat tours down the Mississippi. You can do entire tours to go all the way down the Mississippi Mississippi. But you can do a day trip. You can go for a couple of hours or something on a Mississippi River boat trip out of communities like Dubuque. So you're not that far away from Effigy Mounds National Park.
No, because what is,
and it's
because what is it about?
Fantastic area.
I think the Effigy Mounds is it's probably about 30, 40 miles north of Dubuque. I think it's
it's
right there where U.S. 18 crosses the Mississippi River. So,
yes, exactly. And I often, in fact, I was actually just there a few weeks ago in that part of the state. And I you know, I always go across into Prairie du Chien. They've got a lot of good outfitter stores. I mean, there's the big, you know, Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops there and everything too that people will hit in that side of the state and stock up. But lots of different colors going on right now. It's also a great part of the state to do canoeing in and kayaking trips because of a number of different, feeder rivers there that go into the Mississippi on both the northern Iowa and then on the Wisconsin side. You know, obviously you're not too far from Minnesota as well. You're right up there with the border of Minnesota. And so, again, lots of fun stuff to do in that part of the state.
We're going to take a little pause here. Scott, looks like you reached into your prepper closet. We must have had a winner for the trivia question.
Yeah, Pat Taggart correctly said true, and for that she gets the prize package plus a can of Spam chosen at random.
What was the brand? Yeah, we've been giving out cans of Spam here in MREs.
I love it.
Scott's prepper closet was getting a little too full, so we're kind of thinning it out a little bit as when your prepper closet gets thinned down to where we can handle it again, Scott, we're gonna move on to appetizers from the Fireside in Anthony, Iowa.
Sounds good.
So let us know when you run out of prepper type food. Anyway,
fun stuff.
And our question was that the effigy mounds found in Iowa are believed to be built by the early ancestors of the Ho-Chunk tribe, and there's a huge presence of the Ho-Chunk tribe over here in the Siouxland region, you know, with the Winnebago Indian Reservation right there, also just north of Sioux City here, between Sioux City and Sioux Falls on the Big Sioux River, they found another area called the Blood Run area where they have found evidence of effigy mounds that are also credited with the early ancestors of the Ho-Chunk. And there was one there in the 1930s reported that it was a 1.25 mile long snake effigy that the railroad used for fill when they built the railroad tracks through there. And I don't know if there's any mounds left there or not. I mean, it's a recently added, I think like 5 years ago, the state of South Dakota had bought a lot of it on their side of the river, like 325 acres or whatever, and recently got it designated as a national monument there also. But also these ones the ones in eastern Iowa, they're like the most pristine because they'll find them through the Midwest, out into Ohio even, but they never have they found a cluster of them this concentrated is what they are there at in Iowa. And I think the main reason is because they're up on the bluff in a position where they couldn't, railroad guys couldn't get up there and ruin them, the glaciers didn't ruin them, and the farmers didn't plant corn on them.
That's absolutely true. It's all about terrain. It's very rugged and hilly and lots of ravines, and you cannot get there very easily. It makes for great hiking. You are going to go up and down lots of different hills, but it did ultimately protect those mounds. And, yeah, you've got the Ho-Chunk native tribes are very active in that part of the country. You've got, Winnebago, the Sac and multiple Sac and Fox groups, multiple Iowa groups as well, and other native populations are very active in anthropologists or archaeologists call the mound building culture. So Native Americans.
Yeah. They associate, I think, 20 different, about 20 different tribes are associated with these mound buildings.
Yes.
And
which
is kind of crazy.
You could do an entire, summer road trip and hit up multiple states in the U.S. and see these different mounds and all throughout North America, and particularly in the Midwestern area. So it's, great family types of adventures can be done, and combining, history and Native American cultures, and then lots of great camping and, you know, the fall colors and, you know, canoeing and just it's really literally one of my favorite places in the entire country to go to. Just so, so beautiful.
And they really don't know why the mounds were built. Some of them I know they've excavated and they found contents of human remains in them, making them,
yes.
You know, obviously burial mounds. Other ones, they find nothing. They think they may have been used to mark territories between tribes, or also maybe they used them for religious purposes. And
yes, exactly.
Some of them are really elaborate, and others are just like simple squares or rectangles.
Exactly. Yeah. Smaller ones than others, again, could be dozens and dozens and dozens of feet long and, you know, miles, just depending on where you are in the country. Ironically, some of the best photographs you can see of them would be if you were to Google these different kinds of effigy mounds around the United States, where you get aerial views because they're so large. In a lot of cases, it's sometimes hard to appreciate what they really look like unless you have an aerial view of it. You know, with a plane or drone or that type of thing where you can get that picture to really appreciate how large these shapes are. I mean, they're beautiful and you know, potentially had sacred and religious significance as well. So they're really, really stunning.
And I don't know. I was talking to Scott about this before the show, and then I don't know. One theory that I might have is they did it out of boredom. I mean, you go back, you know, 1,000, what did they, you know, I mean, you're going to get up and chase, you know, mm-hmm. check Facebook. I don't think there was a lot of guys on Facebook then. I mean, what else did you have to do besides, you know, go out and, you know, kill an animal, catch a fish, or gather up some nuts and berries? I mean, it's like, what else you got to do?
Let's make
this giant mound shaped like a bear.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because the shapes are all tend to be very tied in with nature. And you can really see that these were populations where nature and the outdoors, it was part of their soul. It was part of their, you know, sacred understanding of the earth and the universe. And there's such a, you know, close connection to nature that a lot of these, again, are worth seeing because of the different shapes that they look like, with snakes, like you said, and the birds and bears and, you know, running bears and They're just really amazing,
and then,
too.
Unfortunately, they didn't. None of these cultures had a written language, you know, to convey the history. It's just word of mouth over the centuries. And you know what? I can't even tell a story today and have it come back to me the same tomorrow. So, I mean, so much of what these people did and why they did it is pretty much lost forever.
Yeah, and you've got these beautiful visual legacies of. You know, their history and sacred understanding of life and the outdoors and all of that. It's really amazing.
I just know today I'm not going to be able to go out in a field and lay out, a 320-foot wingspan bird and pile up dirt and make it look like a bird from the air. The skill that they had in building these is just incredible.
It's phenomenal. On a micro scale, if you think of, you know, for any listeners that have been to oceans before, to the beaches on the East Coast or the West Coast, that you build little mounds, you know, in sand, you know, you build sand castles and how intricate they can be, and they're very small. So imagine on a, you know, a huge scale, building mounds around the country that sometimes are over a mile long and have these intricate, beautiful shapes, and then they get covered up with grasses and brush and things like that, and they could remain there, as you said, you know, for over 1,000 years, 1,500 years, 800 years, and they're still there, and they're connected to each other very often. They're often not random. You know, one shape is connected to another shape down. You know, down a hill or a different area. And so they're really very elaborate.
We're never going to know. We're never really going to know. Hey, we're out of time again, Michelle. It's unfortunate. We should just bump the Hawkeye pregame show and just keep carrying on. I don't suppose anybody complained about that, would they, Scott? there would be a crowd outside the studio, and they would tar and feather us.
Riots
if they missed, if their pregame wasn't the full 3 hours, if it was only, 30 minutes. But anyway, hey, until we talk to you again next month, Michelle, thank you very much.
Definitely. Thank you so much. Hope to see you all out here in northeastern Iowa. Take care and enjoy the fall colors.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go. CBS News update. In London, huge crowds of protesters are gathered outside Parliament, demanding that voters have the final say on Brexit. Inside, British lawmakers are considering Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Brexit proposal.
This deal allows the UK, whole and entire, to leave the EU on